Even when we're frozen.
Okay, welcome to our defining Tanya share. We're up to Oys Hay. Last week we did who are you do over who are mad over who are daya, which was a little complicated. And then we spoke about Hashem being the name of Hashem. And now Michael, I just remembered I want to answer your question about all the different names of Hashem. So I think I said to you like there's a few answers to say, but I realized the real answer that I only really learned very recently from Rav Haas is that see I answered you by saying that the shame havaya to Hashem himself is like all the shemus kadoshas to the Shem to Hashem havaya. Yeah. And that's not wrong at all, what I think. But the maybe a more accurate saying the same thing is you've got the 10 names of Hashem that aren't erasable, which is Ekye, Ka, Kael, Keltzavakois, Elokim, Shakai, yeah, Adnas, the Pnimius of all of those names is Shem Havaya, which is really what I said, but it's a much more tight, it's a much tighter way of saying it. That the Shem Havaya is the Pnimius, is the light, the inner energy of all of the names. So the names are Kalim. All of those 10 holy names that you're not allowed to erase, they are all Kalim. All vessels, and the light that is contained in them is the Shem Havaya, and that goes through different permutations and different gematrias and all different kinds of cool stuff. But that is the point: is the Shem Havaya is called Shem Ha'etzem. That's really what we call Hashem. Yeah, everything else is slightly further away from him. But then you might ask, because we've got those 10 names. Yeah, one of those 10 names is Havaya. The name for Tiferes is Havaya, Yudke Vavke. So Tiferes, which is MS, which is Torah, that is that the Keli and the Or is Shaveh. Meaning, even in that case, even the Kli is Havaya. In the other names are the Keli. But in that case, anyway, so that's a deep idea, but there you go.
So just to ask, so Yud Kei Vav Kei is not related to Malchus directly, it's related to Tiferes, because I was going to ask you if Malchus is like the Kli for all the other spheros, is that the same concept, or that's I'm incorrect or mixing it up?
You're mixing ideas up a little bit. We don't the idea of the different names being connected to the spheres is, although it's Yadua and it's spoken about a lot. But when we're talking about the actual spheres of Malchus, which is Shem Adnus, receiving everything, it's you're mixing up two bechinas. I'm sure they do mix up, but it will get more complicated. Always try make sure to keep things compartmentalized, and when you need to connect them, you connect them. Okay, okay. So that's a hey, Hashras Hashchina. What does it mean, Hashras Hashchina? The translation of Hashras Hashchina is the resting of the Shechina. And I've given like kind of creative translations, meaning like accurate translations. You can see I just can't take you seriously with that pen. Let's go for it. I just need to like I need to center myself. But at least if you're going to use it, have it pointing at me so I can see its face. Thank you. Only Yitzhi cats could get away with such a pencil. Anybody else would be laughed at. Other people like that. Yitzhi cats using a pencil. Like you could imagine, like in another few days, you'll see people like all over the place with these pencils. Okay. So Hashras HaShechina, Yeah, which translates accurately or not accurately, translates literally as the resting of the divine presence, whatever that means. I've translated it as the result of creation becoming compatible with Hashem's will. Hashra'as is the phenomenon which takes place when a chelik of creation has surrendered itself to the Ratzon Hashem. By tzaddik, there's Hashra'as Shechina, because he's kulu surrendered to Hashem. When you look at the tzaddik, like we said many times, when you look at tzaddik, you're seeing kiviyochol the Rabbeinu Shloim. You're not seeing a person. You're looking at a window to the Rabbeinu Shloim. A real tzaddik, who are very, very, very few and far between. But a real tzaddik is a fleishik, is a shtick fleish, yeah. But that fleish is mamash, a window to Elokus, and that's called Hashra'as Shechina. When something becomes transparent, like that's not really transparent because it's patterned, but. When I hold up a clear glass with a Fanta in it, and I say, "What do you see here?" And you see Fanta. You might say, "I see a glass with Fanta," but you're looking at the Fanta, yeah. That's the tzaddik. He's not nothing. He's a transparent kli. He's a kli. He's not Hashem, but he's a transparent. That's what it means, Kedusha. Kedusha is a transparent kli. When we say, like, when you're in your kitchen, yeah, and one of the kids puts his phone on or something on a bencher, it disturbs you. You go and move the thing off the bencher. If somebody, there was when I was at Yeshiva, there was this kid there, a funny guy, who he wanted to make some. He was a real funny guy. He wanted to make some trouble, and he found a chumash from a reform, like a reform chumash, which has no kedusha to it whatsoever, and in fact needs to be burned. In fact, that we learned this. Remember, Yitzi, we just learned this. That kadush that a chumash written by a goy needs to be put in Geniza, but a chumash written by a mumah or by a koifer, yeah, needs to be burned. So it has no kedusha to it whatsoever, yeah. So this kid wanted to make like to have some fun. So in the dorm, I didn't see this, but I heard about this in the dorm. He started pretending that he was freaking out. He said, "I've had it. I'm done. I can't do this anymore." Yeah, he grabbed that chumash. He threw it on the floor. He started jumping on it, kicking it around, like in front of all the other kids. And whatever, they restrained it. He was a funny guy. But it was a joke. But the point is that something that is kadosh reminds you of the Rabbeinu Shloim. But it isn't the Rabbeinu Shloim. It's still a kli. So you've got kedusha, klipas noiga, and klipas tumeis. Klipas tumeis is an opaque kli, like that. You don't know what's in there, bichlal. Yeah. Klipas noiga is a translucent kli, like milky glass, where you do know. And there's madregas as well. And you know, like when you look, when you're in your, you can know if it's night or day outside, yeah. Milky glass allows you to know that. So it lets and there's madrigas. But then kedusha is transparent. That's Hashra'as Shechina, meaning that the Shechina is it becomes compatible with that thing. And that can only happen on something that is buttle, that is agendaless in front of the Ratzon of Hashem. That's Hashra'as HaShechina. When something in creation has no agenda of its own, it becomes a seat, a resting place for Shechina. So that's like our limbs become, there's Hashra'as HaShechina on our limbs, there's Hashra'as HaShechina on objects that are being used for Kedusha, everything that's being used for mitzvah purposes. Okay, that's Hashra'as HaShechina. Okay?
Question. Does this only apply to humans or to Jews, or this applies to anything in creation?
That's a really good question. Leave human beings out of it. Without human beings, everything is battle to Hashem.
Right.
No, animals don't have their own agenda, meaning they.
Right. We have Bechira.
Oh, exactly. So, in that sense, that's not really. That's not like that. It's not really accurate to say that. You can't say that animals are not kadosh. They are of creation. They conceal Hashem, but at the same time they're doing exactly what Hashem wants. So it's an interesting, but that's not like that's not what let me try and articulate the difference. So the question's like this, I think what you're asking, Maaser, is a tzaddik does exactly what Hashem wants. So there's Hashra'as HaShechina, so you see Hashem. But an animal also does exactly what Hashem wants. So there should be Hashra'as HaShechina there as well. I mean, there's Hashra'as HaShechina on. No, I don't know if you can say that. I was going to say there's Hashra'as HaShechina on the chicken on Friday night when you're eating the chicken, the shame Suda Shabbos. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know about that. That's a good question. I don't know. I know that the Or Chaim talks about Hashra'as HaShechina all the time on the limbs of the Jew. So maybe it's to do with an intentional bittul. But that's a good question. But there, you can't say that there's Hashra'as HaShechina on an animal in the way that there is by a tzaddik. But you could argue, I mean, LP logic, it makes sense to say that, but that's it's not correct. That's not correct. So I don't know. It's a question. Okay, onward. Histalshalus. Histalshalus is the, I mean, histalshalus means a chain, like a chain down effect. And it's the way the worlds work. And it's really just Hashkacha, Baruch Hashem. I'm learning with Rav Hassan Inyan, like a deep Inyan in this. And I said to my Moshul, I can't believe I never said it before. And he was like, yeah, that's great, Moshul. So, and it's exactly what we're talking about here. The way it works, the way I understand it, is that the you've heard of Kesi, yeah? Kesi is the highest sphere. Yeah, that's the, so to speak, the essence of the thing. And you've heard of Malchus. Malchus is the lowest sphere that everything from above is collected within. So Malchus has nothing of its own. And it's an empty receptacle. That it's an empty clay that receives all of what's above. Now, the way it works is just like a chain. I don't have one with me, but just like a chain, we've spoken about this before. The top link enters in, the bottom of the top link enters into the top of the link below it. And that link now, the bottom of that link now enters into the top of the link below that. So there's this interesting kind of, it's not really paradoxical, but it's an interesting phenomena with a chain when you think about it philosophically, where the bottom of the top level merges, so to speak, with the top of the bottom level. That's the Inyan of Hishtalshlis. That's what it means, Hishtalshlis. Hishtalshlis means that the worlds go down. Yeah. So the Malchus of Atsilas enters into, or is, I don't know how you really say it, is the Kesa of Bria. That what I just said there, that's pages and pages in the Kisveri talking about that, those kinds of inyanim. And if you
Can you
read
say that one more time? Can you say that one more time, that last line?
the Malchus of Atsilas, let's just say, to make it simple, enters in to the Kesa of Bria, or becomes the Kesa of Bria. And if you want to be really technical, the spheres break down into three. Well, they break down into loads of different configurations, but you've got Kachab, which is also Chabad. It depends if you're counting Kesa or Das. So Chabad calls it Chabad, but in Kabbalah, most of the time you call it Kachab. So you've got, let's say you've got Kachab, then you've got let's just call it Chabad. Then you've got Chabad, then you've got Hagat, yeah, Hagas, then you've got Nahim, Netzach Hoid Yesod Malchus. Now, if you want to be really accurate, it's really the Nahim that enters in to the Kesa of the level below, or that becomes the Kesa of the level below. Have you? I don't know how you say it. Yeah. So that was just giving you some extra information. What's the Moshul? Wonderful Moshul. I can't believe I only thought about it just recently, just like mumsh, 2 days ago. An apple tree. The seed is the Kesa. Yeah, that's the essence of the whole tree. You put the seed in the ground, and the seed turns into an apple tree. Finally, the final kind of the final like the final thing to develop on the apple tree is the fruit. That's Malchus. The fruit is Malchus. By the way, Yitzi, just to remind you, remember we said you have fish, soup, flesh and fruit. That is the minhag is on Friday night. The Suda is a four course meal. Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Chassidus, Alpi Minhag. It's fish is the first course, then soup in the night or egg in the day, yeah, and then meat, and then fruit. That corresponds to Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yeah, Yud is Chochmah, which is fish, because fish are batal. Yeah, fish are completely nullified. Yeah, you could mikveh in a vat of fish. You know that they're like water. If you got, I mean, I wouldn't like to do that, but you could do that. I would just as a very side point, mamash. More, it couldn't be more side point than this ever. Yeah, when I went to India when I was 19, I went to South India, and I went into the sea, and it was like soupy. It was mummish like soup, yeah. And I put my hand in. You take your hand out, and it was. They were like you remember Pac-Man? You know those ghosts from Pac-Man? So imagine that it looks like a star fruit. You know what a star fruit is? Yeah, so you like look down on it. It's like a little thing like this, probably about that big. Yeah, if you look down on it, it's like, you know, it's like a star, a little thing like that, completely see-through. And a jelly, it was a jellyfish. They were dead. They were all dead. But there were millions, millions. The sea was like more of these things than it was water. And you could put your hand in like this and go like that, and it was all like. You can imagine, like, squelch out of your fingers, Moerdijk. Anyway, that was a very side point. But the point is, fish are like in many ways regarded as water. Yeah, they are They're completely batal. So they're a yud. Yud is chokhmah, which is batal. Yeah, Yitzi wanted to hear this, so it worked out by Hashgacha. Then, so now we've got soup and egg. Soup in the night, egg in the day. These both correspond to bina. Why? Because bina gives length and breadth and depth. Yeah, that's exactly what water and eggs do. The egg is what the seed goes into. So the egg gives length and breadth and depth, yeah, which is what bina does. Yeah. The egg is the female aspect. The man is the zera, and the female aspect is the betzer, is the egg. So that the zera goes into the egg, and the egg gives the zera length and breadth and depth. That's bina. Just like bina is the faculty of the mind that takes that spark, let's call it that spark of the whole idea, and gives it length and breadth and depth. Like the a good analogy for this is in by Yeats's place in Palm Springs. Yeah, the Disney thing that they're building. So one guy, once upon a time, was driving past. Yeah, he was driving around. And he looks at that empty space and he's like, I see it. Mamush. You know, a square mile of pure Disney magic, shops and streams and houses and golf courses and everything. Yeah. He just one hit. Yeah. That's Chochmah. The whole idea, the whole thing's there. Yeah. He gets on the phone and he's like, okay, I've just seen this amazing place in Palm Springs. Let's get this, let's start working this out. Yeah. So now he sits down with a whole board of people, and that's the bina. That little kernel of that idea. Now they're talking about how many units, what are we going to do commercially, how are we going to deal with the planning and the municipality and et cetera, yeah. That's bina. So bina's giving length and breadth and depth to the initial energy of the idea. The energy of the idea was that chutzpahdika guy who sees that, you know, have any acres of land, and he's like, wow, yeah, that's chutzpah, that's energy. Now that energy gets taken by bina, and now we start having to work out the plans. You didn't build anything yet, but you're working out the plans. Yeah, that's the inyan of an egg and the inyan of water as well. Water is what causes things to grow. That's the idea. The growth of the nakuda is is bina. Okay. So how come? Why is flesh? Flesh is ze'ampin, which is the vav. Which is chesed first netzachoid yesoid. Yeah, that is the bit that connects the higher levels to the lower levels. Why? Because that's what your flesh does. Asher yotzo es adam b'chochma. Now, that is the what is it that's machaber the ruchnius and the gashmius is the flesh of the goof meat. The meat is what sticks is the medium that sticks the higher levels to the lower levels. That's the vav. Vav is, don't forget, vav, the word vav means a hook. Yeah. Also, vav is and, which joins things together. Yeah. Yitzi and Michael, a vav there, that's that puts them together. Okay, so that's flesh. And then peiros is malchus. Fruit is malchus. Why? Because the fruit is it receives the entire tree. And now we'll get back to the point of why we mentioned this, is the fruit receives the entire tree. Now you take that fruit and you stick it in the ground. And that produces a new tree. That's Hishtalshelus. The tree comes from a seed. The seed becomes a tree. And then finally, in the final stages, it becomes a piece of fruit that the entire tree, so to speak, goes into that fruit. That's how it is, like conceptually, Alpi Kabbalah Chasidus. And now that fruit, which is the malchus of the tree, becomes the keser of the next tree, the seed within the fruit. Oh. That's a really nice moshul for understanding this concept of Hishtalshelus. Okay, got Koyach for one more? His boininess. Is that this is quite, I mean, again, we know these ideas, but his boininess, me, they translate it as meditation, yeah? Or thinking. Well, I don't know what you call it. I translate it as structured, thought-based meditation. The most perfect example of his boininess is what goes on in your mind when you're in a really depressed mood. The Havdil. Because you start thinking basically, you know, look, I'm basically no good. I'm basically a loser. Yeah, like Bichlal, overall, I'm a loser. Yeah, that's what you start saying to yourself. Yeah. And then what your brain does is it starts finding proofs for your loserkeit. Yeah. And then it will dig deeper and it will find like root causes and it will start remembering things that your Rebbe said and your father said and your wife said and like big things. And before you know it, you just have to go to bed and wake up the next day because it's just downhill from there. That's his but his boinus means you build. That's what his boinus is from Russian boine. His boinus means you build a mental construct in your mind. You remember the paradigm example of his boinus that I haven't said it for ages, but I definitely said it to you guys. Remember about getting clear on the size of the universe? You remember the moshul? Yeah, the tipa, the drop of the ocean next to the Pacific
Pacific
Ocean.
Ocean. Yeah,
Exactly.
three times over.
He times there, exactly. That is the paradigm example of his boinus. But we do his boinus all the time. We the problem is we do it for bad stuff most of the time. Our minds are master his boinus. They're masters of his boinus, lara, meaning that is how you that's called going into a funk. Going into a funk is the avoider of his boinus. It's structured thinking, building and building layers and layers until, and this is the point, it affects you viscerally.
But why not the opposite way? Why are you saying it's structured thought-based meditation in a downward spiral? What about an upward spiral?
No, it is. No, I'm just giving you a moshul, but something we can relate to all the time. That's like the most common. It's not even called his boininess, what I'm talking about. It's
Isn't it Chachma, the guy who looks at that Disneyland? Isn't that his boninus? He's structuring the whole thing in his mind when he sees that whole. What's the
go on, you see, finish your thought.
I mean, if it's all happening in your head, right, and you're structuring the whole thing, well, and you're using the word construct, I mean, these are all construction, these are all building blocks. So you get when you see that open land, you see the same thing. You're building it, the whole thing. You're building your whole day. You wake up in the morning, you're doing his bonus. You're building your whole morning, your whole day ahead. You know, so isn't it this similar to Chachma?
Well, no, that's Bina. That's Lashon his boininess. Boine is Lashon Bina. It's exactly the point. You're using your Bina. That's a great example. Most people don't wake up in the morning and mentally construct their day. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I don't think most people do. I mean, Shachris is his boininess, that's for sure. But I think it's unique people who actually wake up in the morning and then mentally structure their day, that would be a form of Hisboinenus. But what with when we're talking about in Tanya, the idea of Hisboinenus, it's a specific, it's referring to, I suppose Hisboinenus could be referring to just any kind of structured thinking, because that's from Lashon Bina. That's in the Koyach Bina, which is Lashon Boina, to build. But the what the Tanya's really talking about, the way I understand it, is a layering of concepts which eventually give you a emotional experience. The point of his bonus is that it should lead to some kind of actual, like, visceral emotion, a palpable emotion. That's the point of his boringness. So I was just giving the example of a person in a real funk, a negative funk, is they are feeling horrible emotions. Yeah, however you want to explain that, they're feeling horrible things because their thinking is so negative that they go into you call it a depression, whatever you want to call it, but they're having these terrible feelings. Why? Because their mind is working so actively and layering and structuring this negativity to the point where they actually feel it very badly. That's just the dougma, like the idea, Yitzi, what you were saying about the guy in Palm Springs, yeah, who starts like planning and thinking and whatever, yeah. That isn't really, although that would be called his boringness in a sense, that's not really the meaning of it here. Like I said, the meaning of his boringness is structured thinking that layers on top of it and builds concepts so that eventually you're like, wow, actually, that, like I said, the difference between saying the world is really, really big and the earth is really, really small, yeah, is different than when you do the moshul of the drop of the ocean in the ocean and then the ocean next to another, and that should actually move you internally. That's what they've done. You want to get a really good example of his boringness is Hollywood. Hollywood has hupped his boringness unbelievably. And any good storyteller is a misboinen. He is doing his boringness. He's built, like, a good storyteller will end up with a punchline, yeah? When if he's built up the whole thing at the end, when he hits you with the punchline, you'll be like, wow, psh. That's an emotional response. Well, I keep thinking about that film I saw a few years ago called Thor Ragnarok. It was a Marvel film, yeah? And I remember, I've told you this before, I remember sitting there at the end watching a bunch of, like, misfit aliens, yeah, like in a spaceship. It was absolutely laughable, and I'm crying, I got tears coming down my eyes watching, like, a guy made out of rocks and, like, a little green thing and whatever, like, all funny things. Yeah, that's his boringness, meaning they use their minds to get me to feel something really deeply. And that's how we have to, that's how we're meant to be using our minds. That's how we're meant to be using our minds. Okay, we'll call it a day.
Question,
Yeah.
question, question. Where is the line between Hisbonus and Bina? Meaning, is Hisbonus only in the mind versus then taking actionable steps of having meetings and taking notes and typing stuff up and all of the action items?
Well, taking notes and writing stuff up is really in the mind until you actually start building the building.
So planning and let's say writing, whether it's in a journal or typing something up or even voice recording or something, is that part of the Hisbonus process? It's on the fringe. It's
Is speech, what is speech, physical or mental? That's the exact point. It's kind of both. It's in the middle. But his boringness is in the mind. It's building in the mind. It's from the word Bina. Bina is the tool that is used for his boringness. His boringness is from the word Bina. And that is, by the way, the word for the Beinoni, a Beinoni and Bina and his Boinen are all the same word. Because the Beinoni is a person who thinks about Hashem and learns about Hashem to the point where he ends up with some kind of emotional connection to him because of his structured thinking. This isn't beyond us, by the way, the idea of his bonus, the idea of thinking. A lot of the classes that we give, a lot of them, especially what, like last year when I was giving the partial classes, a lot of those classes were mamish his bonus. They were his bonus sessions. That's what they were. You build and build and you end up with a whole structure, and by the end of it, you actually feel something. Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Zaigazun,
Good night.
Chevre,
Thank
will be.
you.
Have a good day.